And we're coming back in. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. We're here today on this Saturday, 29th of February, Leap Year Day. So anybody, how long have you got left in the States? 2 hours? So get down on one knee, and women can propose to men today. It's supposed to be, or in the month of February, Leap Year. That's, so those would be the old wives' tale. I'm not expecting it to happen to me, so I won't be disappointed. But there you are. That's, oh dear, the amount of nutters out there. Even with the censorship of Google and YouTube, still, a lot of stuff is still getting through. The extreme left, is, as they make such fools of themselves, and they're so despicable, so evil, just demonic. But if two pieces later on, maybe this or some of them will play Charlie's piece, and there's one piece from Divine. It's a bit long, but maybe in the third hour. But no, these clips are worthwhile. I'm looking for interesting clips by good people. They're very fluent, more fluent than I am. And they have a good grasp of things. And it's this current hot things in the news, like Geoff Taylor is doing an outstanding report on the progress of the EU talks and the flaws in it. And he's extremely thorough. But I noticed ex-naval officers are very, very thorough in these kind of things. I think he's an intelligence officer in the Navy. But he said, if you want to mug, people have been appealing for him for over a year. He's been 2 years on air, I think, to give, they want photographs of him. He said, right, I'll do mugs then. And they're quite dear, £5 or £6 each. He said, a mug with my mug on it, as he says on the blog. But he's very good, and Turley is very good overall. And, oh, yeah, there's that piece down there. Okay. I'll talk to Ken after what. There, very good. How to transfer those onto my system? But no, we're hanging on air tonight. Considering we're storm number 4 since December 6th is wrecking the country right now. Not exactly where I am, but it is interfering. I was saying to Ken, and those digital transmissions are very susceptible to storms. I've noticed that. They're more than the system is not digital. We've had such carry on. I would say there's waterlogging of telephone lines. 80% of the telephone lines in the UK are copper wire. And in a lot of places, including one place I used to live, the telephone engineer, a very good guy, Ken Matters was there. I shouldn't be saying his name. He said, you've got squirrel problems. I said, what? Squirrel? He said, I was there living in a semi-rural area. And the telephone lines are going up through a wood and out onto the road to the main telephone lines. And what happens is squirrels run along the line. And just before they jump onto the post, they grip the line very tightly with their sharp little claws. And they strip it. And this happens 10,000 times in, say, a couple of miles of telephone wire. And you get this rain falling on them, which gives a tap, tap, tap effect, which is on a standard landline. And that's why you get a bad line to some places. So BT are a disgrace, an absolute national disgrace. But some of their subcontractors, I don't mind naming very good ones, MJ Quinn in Liverpool, they've done lines for me twice, and they come and they got, BT came, looked at the job, two louts, and they said, oh, this will take a day. They came at about 11 o'clock, and they queried the order number, et cetera, and they took off and disappeared. Quinn's guy came one morning, 8 o'clock. He had to come up through three floors and two walls and into my place, and he did it in 3.5 hours. The other louts would have put 2, 8, 16 hour journey into it, right? That's the difference. But not to mention Network Rail, those guys, I think they work about 2 hours a day on safety basis, you know. But there's some terrible examples of incompetence. But I'm really ripping mad about this. HS2 has been given the go-ahead by Boris Johnson. 30, 40, if you're probably 100 billion by the time it's finished. Just 180, 90 miles to bloody Birmingham and another 150 north. We do not need it in the age of, fibre optic cable, etc. We just don't in a small country like this. And the A roads and B roads falling ahead. They're 12 years behind, 14 years behind in repairing the A and B roads. And they should be getting rid of the railway crossings. 1,600 of them, which are highly dangerous, underpassing them or overpassing them, and double-decking the trains. If you see in Canada, they've double-decked the trains years ago, which means raising the bridges or lowering the road, whichever it is. And that would solve the rail crisis here. The trains are packed to capacity. We've got the most expensive train journeys in the world. From Reading to London, what's the figure I heard the other day? It's only 450 miles. And an annual season ticket, 5 days a week, out and back to London, 15 hours a year, it's something like £6,000. It's shocking. Shocking, shocking, shocking. It's unbelievable. But I agree with the Labour Party in this regard. They need to renationalise the post office, the water and the railways. There were three big mistakes. The water system, Thames Water in the London area and a massive part of the home counties, is owned by the Arabs, right? That's where the profit is going. And I've had the father and mother of a row with a water company here who I caught out. It was the units were used were 55 units and they were charging for 350. Their own meter reading was showing 350, well, 50, and they were charging seven times the rate. But I'm going after them now. I've just finished with an electric company, which I beat the crap out of, really. They admitted they were wrong, finally. But anyway, that's not a hobby I have, but I don't go around taking fights. I really don't. But people start carrying on like that, or picking on vulnerable people. So I've had a lot of landlords where I worked, or lived, I should say, and these letting agents, some of them are absolute scum. But there you are. But another article here today, let them eat cake. UK ban on wet wood and coal for clean air will hit the poor when you can't afford electric heating. Absolutely. A guy called Neil Clark writing this, and get a hold, says, yeah, it's very small print. And he's saying, is a journalist, writer, broadcaster, Clark is, right. The UK government is banned on the sale of coal and wet logs to burn in domestic fireplaces to be implemented between 2021 and 2023 is ill thought out because it will increase fuel poverty and greatly disadvantage the rural poor. Absolutely. He said, keep the home fires burning was the name of a hugely popular Ivan Novello song during the First World War. Yeah, it was a British anthem for the soldiers, that's for sure. The British government has just released a 2020, probably like that tosser we rang out there who said, read out a minute ago, whatever his name was, Leon, saying that agriculture wasn't important. No. Well, I mean, I'm just beyond words to describe these idiots. The government is acting, it says, on the grounds of public health and in accordance with this clean air strategy. It's not like we're living in China. Because the industry is shut down in this country, we actually have quite clean air in most places. The problem in London is diesel, which everybody was told to buy, and now, oh, it's totally wrong. And they're supposedly switching to electric. Well, that is a joke. A joke. We're near total capacity to electricity, 98% in the winter months in bad weather. As I said before, I worked out a statistic with a technician. If UK had 15% electric cars, well, the national grid would collapse every morning for a couple of hours. Joke. And the same in America. The totally inadequate neglect of the power grid. And it's not a hardened grid. And now remember what Enron did or didn't do. They took the profits and left the system to rot. So, I mean, these politicians posturing and posing. And, oh, yeah, the other thing this week is we had Greta Thunberg in Bristol this week. And 20,000 school children. It was a Friday. Took Friday off to go and listen to her. Read her little speech. She reads these little speeches. And as I have nothing against little Greta. She's a young child, basically. And she's had terrible health problems, physical and mental. And they're using her horrendously. But Greta was here. Big deal. Reporter in the Daily Mail. And... well, that was it, really, just a speech. And the BBC were absolutely salivating at the mouth about her. And they said, this is the government claim about wet wood and coal. It claims the wet wood, the wood that has a moisture content of at least 20% and coal is responsible for 38% of PM2.5 pollution in the UK. PM2.5s are particles less than 2.5 milligrams in diameter. By penetrating deeply into the lung, you can cause various diseases. A British Medical Journal researcher paper found that positive associations between short-term exposure to PM2s and the risk of hospital admission were found to be severely. That's in a city. That is might be the case. The other thing is that they don't mention at all, women working in offices where there's laser printers, right? The laser printer, there's in every house, in every organization, every office, there's visible and invisible dust. And the laser printer whacks across over and back about 500 times for printing a page, and it irradiates the dust. That dust stays in the air, goes into your lungs, and it does not come out. And it's a cancer-causing irradiated piece of dust. And nobody will deal with that. And okay, that's not highlighted at all. And closing on that BBC program, Click, which deals with technology, and was singing the praises of 5G, as was the Daily Mail, as was Which magazine. And people I'm connected with are going after them over that. But so it has to be good. This banning of wet wood and coal fire, doesn't it? Well, not if it plunges even more people into poverty and prevents people from heating their homes adequately. How many deaths will that cause? The economic backdrop to the government announcement, which cannot be ignored, is that according to the latest statistics, from 2017, there are 2.53 million fuel poverty households in England. That is 10% of the total. Right? National Energy Action puts the figure between a total of 3 to 5 million people. The government says it wants to reduce the fuel poverty, but the ban on coal and wet wood for domestic fires goes against this, as they are just about the cheapest way to heat your home. the famous AKA cooker, which is usually integrated into a wall of a house, heats the walls of the house. As cited in the Daily Telegraph, alternatives to traditional coal are estimated to be around 38% more expensive. Indeed, dry wood is around 60% dearer than wet wood, which is sold cheaply at many supermarkets. We'll buy little bags of wood. That is a joke. You've got to get hold of a fallen tree, and the energy of cutting it up will do you good. But the amount of trees, just looking to this evening on TV and on the Daily Mail, of these storms in Britain, the amount of fallen trees floating down rivers in Britain these last three months is unbelievable. There's thousands of tons of timber involved in that. Said it's easy to forget in an age when you think everyone has central heating that there are still 166,000 homes, many in remote rural areas, which are not on the gas grid. Well, they'd be paying an awful lot of money for gas, and where fires are the only option. Bearing in mind how expensive electric heaters are, the government-owned figures put the number of households in rural areas on relatively low incomes at 17% after housing costs. All in all, it's calculated that the ban will cost households £469 million. And a really bizarre figure. And it's just, I would say more than that, of course, the population of 70 million. It's just what people need after a decade of stagnating wages. And by the way, the UK is still stuck on wage levels of 2008, 12 years behind where they should be for most people. There's also the issue of ban enforcement. How will it work? Are neighbours going to be encouraged to snitch on all those still burning coal or the wrong kind of wood? Will we see introduction of smoke stasi? Oh yeah, the old adage that the Englishman's home is his castle will be severely breached. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should be blasé about pollution being emanating from people's chimneys. Only that we need to be looking at this from another angle. And it says setting up state-owned gas and electricity suppliers would be the most effective and way of doing this. And prices could be reduced as there would be no need to pay dividends to shareholders. Yeah, that's what's going on with the water industry. Arabs owning Thames Water, for instance, it's a whole county ship. Half your bill is going to the Arabs. But rather than pursue the common sense option to reduce fuel poverty, the government introduces a measure which will only make the problem worse. The novelist Evelyn Waugh once bemoaned that the trouble with the Conservative Party was that they had never put the clock back a single second. And we can see that in operation once again. Okay, I don't know what that's about. We all know that the coal can be a major pollutant, but if you have properly designed chimneys and scrubbers, you can cut down that to a minimum. I saw a git the other day saying that 80% of the heat and the fire goes up the chimney. Well, if the chimney is tubed up, say an 8-inch tube, metal or clay, pipe and filled in around the side, the heat will absorb into the house, and you'll probably only lose 20% of the heat of the chimney out the top. But we all know that coal can be a major pollutant, but we heard that a thousand times. But while I'm as green as the next man, coal's effective end in Britain as a household heating fuel makes me one feel a little bit sad. Yeah, there's enough coal underground in Britain to supply the power stations for 500 years. Thatcher finished off the coal industry. She picked a fight with Arthur Scargill, who was a communist troublemaker, but to make the gas industry profitable, and we're privatising the gas industry. That's what actually that was about. So Britain is built on coal. We probably have more than a 1,000-year supply. We say 1,000 years, okay, 500, of black coal beneath us. But Thatcherite dogma closed down the mines, put the miners on the dole, thereby destroying the most socially cohesive communities of Britain. Yet dirty coal can be a clean fuel. It sure can. Piers Corbyn, the sun scientist, when he was at Council of London, got the only successful built rubbish burning power station to operate in Britain. And he did that very effectively. It's still working. So there you are. But the one small second. There in my throat. But I'm breathing 96% humidity here. What, 4 or 5 degrees centigrade and 96% humidity. That's what we're trying, electric heating, a bad combination. And he said, Michael Schneider is obviously writing intensively at the moment about the coronavirus and the economic effect of it. He says, we're watching the stock market do things that it has never done before. And he's writing this on Activist Post. He says, stock prices are falling faster and harder than they ever have before. If the financial markets are in this much chaos, even though not a single American has died until today, one died today, of the coronavirus, what are things going to look like as this outbreak starts sweeping across America? Well, it'll send a tsunami wave of economic shortages and collapse ahead of it. That's obvious. The number of confirmed cases continues to explode all over the world, and the discovery of a case of unknown origin in Northern California has really shaken up global financial markets. It has become clear that efforts contain this virus. Well, it's probably from a group of people in the community who do travel and interpret possibly. I'm not saying the Chinese are such in Britain, but they travel over and back to China on New Year, Christmas. So that, it was deliberately released at that time, and it's not a flu virus, it's a bioweapon. And the other thing I read out last week, 110 countries, military soldiers from 110 countries were visiting Wuhan in the 18th of October this 2019. And they came, took part in a minor military parade and a sports event and went back home. So it's now spread all around the world. Okay, we go to this break and we should be back in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But on Michael Schneider's, he's doing a lot of statistics that we already know, but he has, if you go to his article, he has 177 ways to generate extra income. Well, that's surely worth a good read for those of us who have little money. He says, this Activist Post article is entitled, "We are watching the stock market do things that it has never done before." Michael Schneider, Activist Post, and just halfway down that article is highlighted a thing you can call up, 177 ways to generate extra income, and surely worthwhile. But again, the deep state goes on and on and on. We'll go back to a few things when we go the other side of the outbreaks. Play a Steve's Hurley one on the ethnic support for Trump. Hispanic and black is rising rapidly. Anyway, he's basing it on good statistics and good figures. And so the shadowy watchlisting council has control over your legal rights, and it does not really exist. The secret for the five-man team. By all commonly accepted standards, the watchlisting advisory council, right? Another organization, WLAC of the deep state, does not exist. It does. It has no physical offices, no employees, and was not established under any discernible legal authority. Yet this council, which meets quarterly to advise National Security Council, has the power to decide if you have any real legal rights or not. Disclosures in recent legal cases resulted in the emergence from the shadows of the WLAC, the Watchlisting Advisory Council. It has been determined through legal depositions of FBI employees, oh dear, conducted by the Muslim Civil Rights Organization, that the following agencies have a representative on WAC, Special Agent Matthew DeSarno, during his CAIR disposition, that's the Muslims organization, the law enforcement privilege, the state secrets privilege, prohibited DeSarno from, this guy DeSarno, if the state and the CIA were representative on Weller. It's very badly written. Who's writing this? Activist posters. No accredited journalist. Okay. Now, the talk about this organization has no proper accreditation. Well, the article seems the same. Throughout the disposition, Powell repeatedly challenged the questions tendered by CAIR lawyer Jared Abbas and instructed DeSarno not to answer the questions. Nevertheless, the picture is coalescing of super organization groups which have no legal accountability, written into its apparently non-existent charter, which has potential and power similar devastate individual rights. Well, this is a shadow organization of the TPP. This is the way the Trans-Pacific Partnership is set up. It has a whole lot of organizing, shutting down sovereignty, individual rights, and only corporate rights have the priority, and corporate courts will exist. Well, they kind of exist as it is under admiralty law. But again, Trump is letting this stuff go on. And again, this is the two-faced part of Donald Trump. As discussed in documents filed by CAIR in federal court case challenging the constitutionality of terrorist watch list, the terrorist watch list can do far more than simply curtail an individual's travel plans, as CAIR lays out in one legal document. Those placed on the watch list have suffered a range of adverse consequences without constitutionally adequate remedy. These adverse circumstances include a broad range of impacts, including employment issues, law enforcement treatment, vetting and credentialing, and impact on public reputation, among others. A lawsuit filed in federal court by CAIR also lists at least one watch list individual who has to be transported to a hospital after he was detained at an airport. This is what Jeff Taylor, it's a similar thing to the EU arrest warrant. Anyway, this article goes on in really detail. But there's another organization out there called the Watchlist Advisory Council, WLAC, okay? Taking more of your rights away. But shocking. Every lovely look at. But John Whitehead has a good article here. No consequences for U.S. Border Patrol agent who shot and killed a child at play. Right? And they said, in a 5-4 ruling, your U.S. Supreme Court refuses to hold U.S. Border Patrol agent accountable for shooting and killing a child at play. Washington, D.C., in a blow to all persons seeking justice for violations of constitutional or federal by federal officers, a sharply divided U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that in a 5-4 judgment that the U.S. Border Patrol agent cannot be sued for shooting and killing a young Mexican boy who was playing in a culvert within feet of U.S. territory and posed no threat to anyone. In an amicus brief filed in Hernandez versus Massa, the court case, the Rutherford Institute and a coalition of human rights organizations had urged the Supreme Court to reinstate a verdict. Okay, we go to this break. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family. because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're coming back in from the bottom of the outbreak of the second hour. This is the Barden Report. I'm just reading an article here by John Whitehead, which is almost deadly serious stuff. And he's describing how U.S. Border Patrol shot a young Mexican child, about 15, who was playing in a trench right on the border. And he fought the case that would appear to the Supreme Court with a group of people, which must have taken some effort. And he said the Rutherford Institute and a coalition of human rights organizations had urged the Supreme Court to reinstate an excessive force lawsuit against Border Patrol agent, U.S. citizen, U.S. soil, a Border Patrol agent, I don't know the name of the guy, oh, no, I think they are, for shooting across the border at a 15-year-old Sergio Hernandez, a Mexican national, who was struck in the head. Anthony Hope Metcalf of New Haven, Connecticut, assisted the coalition in advancing the argument for if in Hernandez. Advancing the argument in Hernandez, okay. For years now, America has been faced with a crisis over the Constitution means and to whom it applies. Thus far, the courts have rationalized all manner of human rights abuses by government officials, use of excessive force, extraordinary rendition, torture, waterboarding, as long as those abuses take place outside the United States. And constitutional attorney John W. Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute and author of Battlefield America, The War on the American People. However, the government should not get a free pass just because it perpetrates its abuses beyond our borders. As Thomas Jefferson advised, all government agents should be bound by the chains of the Constitution. The other thing, I must dig out the judgment. The Supreme Court backed by George Bush law that American forces could invade any country anywhere in the world and retrieve a suspect as they wished, that was legal activity. Right? In the summer of 2010, 15-year-old Sergio Hernandez and several friends were playing in a concrete culvert that separates El Paso, Texas from Juarez, Mexico. The borderline between the United States and Mexico runs through the culvert with an 18-foot fence on the U.S. side. And Sergio and his friends played a game where they would run up the U.S. side and the culvert and then scamper down a patrol. A patrol of U.S. border agents approached the boys, seizing one of the boys as he tried to run away. Sergio and the other boys ran back down the culvert embankment onto Mexico territory. After Sergio ran past Border Patrol agent Jesus Mesa and toward a bridge pillar of the culvert, Mesa allegedly drew his firearm and shot Sergio in the head. At the time the shot was fired, the Border Patrol agent was in U.S. territory and the teenager was in Mexican territory. Soon after the shooting, the U.S. government issued a press release asserting that Messer shot the 15-year-old boy in self-defense. Rubbish. However, cell phone video and incident discredited this claim. When the U.S. government refused to prosecute Messer or allow his extradition to Mexico to face charges, Sergio's family filed a civil rights complaint in the Federal District Court in Texas. In June 2017, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the Border Patrol agent was not immune from the lawsuit and remanded the case to a lower court. The lower court subsequently held the Border Patrol agents cannot be sued for injuries they inflict by shooting across the border. Wow. In their amicus brief supporting the Hernandez family, the Rutherford Institute, and a coalition of human rights organizations, including Amnesty International, the Center for Constitutional Rights and Human Rights, first argued that Sergio's presence in Mexico should not have been a factor in dismissing the excessive force lawsuit because international law supports allowing federal agents to be sued for using unwarranted deadly force against persons who are not on U.S. soil. That's a long-winded statement. Yeah, okay. They should not have dismissed the excessive force which was used. The court ruling and the coalition's amicus brief are available on www.rutherford.org. The Rutherford Institute non-profit civil liberties organization provides legal assistance at no charge to individuals whose constitutional rights have been threatened or violated and educates the public on a wide spectrum of issues affecting their freedoms. Okay, that's a short piece, but that's well worth highlighting. Shocking. Again, tyranny, tyranny, tyranny at every level. Attack, attack, attack. But going back to health matters, two more stories. Only one more about this. Innocent mom gave permission for cops to search her home. They destroyed it with grenades instead. Right? Shocking. And this is an article from this month. Matt Agorist writing this article for Activist Post. And what he's saying here is Caldwell in Idaho, is it? ID. Cops in Idaho managed an epic act of incompetence when they shot up and tear-gassed a woman's home, even though she had given them the key. After initiating an hour-long standoff with an empty home occupied by the family pet, basically they had a standoff with the dog. Shannon's West's attorney said, the woman's name, or Shannon's West's attorney said at the time, Now, after fighting the corrupt system that left this innocent mother and her children homeless, she is fighting her case all the way to the Supreme Court, thanks to the Institute of Justice. The question brought forth before the Supreme Court of the United States is this. If you tell cops they can search your home, they can legally stand outside and fire dozens of tear gas grenades inside and destroy everything you own, and do so with impunity. Well, is this Guatemala or is it the United States? So far, the answer has been yes, they can. Hopefully, however, this is all about to change. Well, really. West's nightmare began in 2014 when she told her ex-boyfriend he needed to leave her home. She told him that she was leaving, and when she came back, he needed to be gone. This happened, and Fabian Salinas, a wanted felon, took his belongings and left. When West, who was 6 months pregnant, returned with her children, a slew of Caldwell police SWAT officers surrounded her home. West gave officers the key to the front door to let them in and search the home, but they never bothered to use it. Instead, the SWAT brought in an armored vehicle and for the next 10 hours waged war on the house. During the course of the standoff, Caldwell police officers broke numerous windows to gain entry, crashed through ceilings while they were maneuvering through the home, and punctured holes in the house by shooting canisters of gas that released noxious chemicals into the home, West explained. While the prolonged assault on the house continued for hours, an irate homeowner says her pet dog, Blue, was the only occupant of the house. Unsurprisingly, officers nearly decimated the house and everything inside, even though they had possession of the key the entire time. According to her complaint, when Miss West was allowed to re-enter the home, she found the house destroyed. Her and her children's personal possessions were saturated with tear gas and littered with debris from the walls and ceiling and broken glass from the windows. Miss West, who was 6 months pregnant at the time, was left to clean up the wreckage by herself, and it was 2 months before Miss West and her children could occupy their home. Wow. And I think the article goes on to say, another page. While with her life in shambles, her personal property either destroyed or coated in a toxic film left over from the gas, who was left homeless for months following the siege, sued to challenge the warrantless destruction of her home and property. The officers defended their actions by claiming that they didn't need a warrant because Shanaz had given them consent to go into the home. Amazingly, the judge bought the police defense. Oh, God. The reason is a controversial legal doctrine called qualified immunity. Oh, whoa, whoa. What's it, the one of Tom Lekavarishard for, was for not possessing a gun. Constructive possession, was it? The reason is a controversial legal doctrine called qualified immunity, which the U.S. Supreme Court, in 1982, under qualified immunity, a government official can only be held accountable for violating someone's constitutional rights if the violation is clearly established. That means law enforcement officers can only be held accountable if a court had previously ruled that exactly what they did is unconstitutional. That's for legal gobbledygook. Thus putting them on notice that they cannot do something even if that something is clearly unreasonable, unethical or unconstitutional. So if a government official finds a unique way to violate someone's constitutional rights, there is little that can be done to hold the official accountable. West was given an ambiguous ruling in the United States Courts of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court, who couldn't say whether the cops were right or wrong. So the Ninth Circuit Court, the most disgusting court in the world. No Supreme Court. Instead, the court found that no Supreme Court or Ninth Court case clearly established as of August 2014, that defendants exceeded the scope of consent. Oh my God. West was then essentially told to kick rocks. Now West, along with her team and the Institute of Justice, are seeking to change this ridiculous tyranny and set a precedent that cops cannot violate constitutional rights with ultimate impunity. This case needs to be a victory, as West is not the only victim. The West's ordeal what seemed to be a rare occurrence in police state America, USA, destruction of civilians' homes and authorities failing to compensate appropriately is, if at all, has become sadly routine. Thanks in large part to a failed war on drugs, SWAT teams routinely trash the homes of suspects and their unwitting families. Worse, a growing number of reports of officers raiding and trashing the wrong house indicate people can operate GPS now. The police can't operate GPS, navigate a map, or even read the address correctly. Sometimes their gross incompetence is lethal for people and their pets. Police apparently have a difficult time, despite the presence of massive surveillance in the U.S., keeping up with whose lives where. As in West's case, hour-long standoffs with empty homes often also frequent headlines. Incidents caused by hapless Keystone cops, in which civilians are left no choice but to pay the price for law enforcement reckless incompetence, clearly illustrate why a growing segment of the public not only mistrust but despise American police. Those police apologists largely worship the badge and the laws enforced, regardless of whether or not they are moral or ethical. What they fail to grasp is that in order to earn respect, it must be given. Sure, it would be difficult at best for someone in West's shoes to respect the authorities who obliterated her home and failed to provide adequate compensation in the aftermath, especially considering they didn't even try the key she willingly provided. And Matthew Gorist is the writer here. Wow, the police state goes on. And they lost, it looks like they lost that case in the Supreme Court. But maybe they're having a second round. It's not absolutely clear from that article. But wow. The article from Britain about rough sleeping. The homeless rough sleeping is 5 times higher than official figures. You bet your life. I was in Manchester recently. And the amount of homeless people on the streets is shocking. Shocking. That's a major city in the north, northwest of England. More than 28,000 people in the UK were recorded sleeping rough in the last 12 months. Research by the BBC has suggested. In England, 5 times as many rough sleepers were seen by councils in a year than reported to the official figures, which are a one-night snapshot. So do we multiply 28,000 by 5? I suspect we do. In England, 5 times... Homelessness charity Crisis said that the snapshot could not hope to accurately reflect the real scale of the problem. The government said it was providing £500 million this year for homelessness and rough sleeping services. New official figures will be released on Thursday. That's this week. But the data for 2018 showed 4,600 people slept rough in England on one night in a snapshot survey. Well, one figure above this is saying 28,000. The author was saying the one snapshot survey taken down 2% of the year before and 165% the year before. I don't know what those figures mean. However, council response to the BBC showed that nearly 25,000 people were recorded sleeping rough at least one night, at least once in England during the latest year on record. The BBC asked council for the number of individuals amid concerns raised by the last year by the official one-night snapshot, but did not give the full picture. In Oxford, the city of Oxford, there were 430 rough sleepers according to 2019. That's an enormous amount for a city like Oxford, compared to 43 during a single night count. 10 times more. This meant the city had one of the highest rates of rough sleeping per household population outside of London. For the past 10 years, Nancy Webb, photographed here, has been in and out of hostels. What a hellholes they are. It's dehumanizing, the 33-year-old said. It chips away at you, and once you become homeless, you start to feel trapped and you're going around in circles. Miss Webb said that she had been attacked by other homeless people. Well, long-term homeless people become mentally ill, and that's shocking problems. But there's been very many good documentaries in the BBC about the hardcore problem. But, and the article goes on and on to say what the kind of hardship they put up with, etc. But there's no coherent policy. It's fragmented, etc. It's just like the NHS and the medical profession. It's grossly overloaded, and most of the hospitals now have ambulances tied up with people not ready, can't be admitted to a bed in hospital or to A&E, that's accident and emergency. And people are waiting an hour, 2 hours for an ambulance. But crisis upon crisis upon crisis. But if this coronavirus gets a grip, it will be deadly in Britain, because of the NHS is up to about 95-98% capacity. And that shocking statistic, which is now 10 years old, thanks to Virginia Bottomley, who was the Minister of Health 10 or 15 years ago. She said, oh, it's badly managed. And then within 5 years, there was more manager than there were beds in the NHS in Britain. How about that? But, on and on it goes. He said one other health matter here. It's bad for you, but you don't know. Commonly prescribed medications can increase dementia risk by 50%. Yeesh, absolutely. Another one, I was talking about somebody this week, the hip replacement, metal hip replacements, up to about 5 years ago in Britain, were the wrong kind of metal, and they were causing people to have Alzheimer's and dementia because the metal was leaching into their brain. Right? Wow. But I should mention here, before we go on to this, about dementia, there is what appears to be a massively assisting help for dementia is called galantamine, and after the break I'll go over that. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, very good. And we're coming back in with the last few minutes of this hour, the second hour. This is the Barden Report. And just one story to finish up this hour. It says, it's bad for you, but you don't know what you won't know. Commonly prescribed medications can increase dementia risk by nearly 50%. Yeah, sure. If you're looking, Isabel Z is writing this article for... If you're looking to reduce your risk of dementia, you might be increasing your intake of blueberries, omega-3 rich foods, but a new study shows another very important step you should take. Avoid anti-chlorinogenic medication. Anti-chlorinogenic drugs are given to people who have symptoms such as bladder problems and gastrointestinal disorders, Parkinson's disease, allergies, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. They contract and relax muscles and work by blocking acetylcholine, which transmits messages through the nervous system. Okay. Although these drugs are already known to cause confusion and memory loss among their short-term side effects, researchers wanted to find out if long-term use could raise people's risk of developing dementia. Scientists from the University of Nottingham looked at nearly 59,000 patients to explore the link. The people they studied, 59,000 people, the people they studied were 82 years old on average, and 63% of them were women. They matched each dementia patient with 5 control patients who had the same sex, age, and general habits. Then they assessed their anticholinergic drug exposure by looking at the 10-year preceding their dementia diagnosis, or the equivalent data among control patients who don't have the disease, to find the patterns. They also carried out further analysis that looked at anticholinergic use in 20 years, blah, blah, blah. Okay. As the observational study, the researchers can declare conclusively that anticholinergic drugs do cause dementia. Okay, I'm glad to have the guts to say that. But the increased risk associated with the drug shows that if the association does indeed turn out to be casual, around 10% of dementia cases could be attributed to the use of such drugs. Such other modifiable risk factors for dementia include smoking in later life, physical inactivity, diabetes, and midlife hypertension. The most frequently prescribed anticholinergic drugs were antidepressants, of course, who are deadly, anti-vertigo, drugs for others, such for bladder disorder. The researchers say that doctors should consider the risks of these drugs alongside the benefits of it. Well, they just switch you to another pharmaceutical drug with other problems. That's the problem. They're only trained in pharmaceutical medicine. That's how the perpetual crisis in the NHS is on forever. And previous studies have reached similar conclusions. For example, a report published in the JAMA Internal Medicine linked the long-term use of anticholinergic drugs like Benadryl and dementia. Okay, it's the kind of the bleeding obvious. Okay, we go to the top of the hour break. Back in about 2 minutes.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.